Ready to get started? All right, it is now 7:02. We will call to order this meeting of the Village of River Forest Sustainability Commission. Co-Chair Charette?
Present.
Co-Chair Lennon?
Here.
Commissioner Vesey?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Here.
Commissioner Mezzatesta?
Here.
Commissioner Cadlec?
Here.
Commissioner Avalos?
Here.
Student Commissioner Steerwalt? We have everyone present. All right. Next item of business, we have no public comment for today. Okay, just wanted to make sure that was actually picking up. I didn't hear the echo of my own voice. So, we will move along to the adoption of the meeting minutes.
I just have two comments on the meeting minutes. On page 3, section 6, under waste, just there's some missing wordage after 80% of the materials that make it to the sorting facility are recycled. And on page 4, just an update on the on the heading of the next meeting date.
And you misspelled my last name in one place. I don't remember which page it's on, but I think there's a missing A or something. I don't know.
Let me, I will proofread and try to catch that as well. There was one month where I misspelled Susan's last name, everyone except for the very first one. So.
Yeah, yes. I was just going to say, find and replace.
Just write last name correction. My own notes here, but with all of those corrections incorporated, do we have a motion to adopt the meeting minutes? Well, Commissioner Mezzatesta, do we have a second?
I'll second.
All right, Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Vesey?
Yes.
Commissioner Haley?
Yes.
Commissioner Mezzatesta?
Sorry.
Yes. Commissioner Cadlec?
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos?
Yes.
All right. Minutes are adopted. All right. Moving on. So we had a pretty packed agenda last month and didn't really get time to discuss what was planned to be on the item, which was the various transportation related items from the UIC climate plans. But
before you go on, Seth, should we hit commissioner updates?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I skimmed right past that. Sorry about that.
Are there any updates?
I'll just share. We were representing Triton, but Seth and, oh my goodness, John is his name, but the head of the Parks Department, I probably got it wrong. I'm so sorry. We're at the Planet Green core team meeting. Is that what you call it? And it was very seven generations ahead. They have that every year. And it was very eye-opening and we heard from the students that went to the Global Climate Conference this year, Poppy and Alora, and the president of Oak Park, Vicky Scammon, and I know President Adusi went last year, so it was good that they went. Also, if the... I'm open to talk about this, but it was brought to my attention by someone I saw at an event yesterday and then again today. But the Inflation Reduction Act, IRA, if the village hasn't already, I imagine you looked over it and skimmed over it, but I myself need to do a deep analysis. But like for solar, if we have more buildings that we might want to put it on and get a tax rebate, tax credit on, it now might be the time because there's a 0.02% chance that it'll get taken down on January 20th in the next administration, but I doubt it. But why not do it now if we have the resources and time? So, yeah, those are mine.
Yeah, so I was also in attendance at the Planet Green Annual Leader Forum. I did share with everyone the very brief presentation. I got basically just recapping the accomplishments of this commission in the village relating to sustainability items over the past year, and then briefly outlined looking forward. And then there were a few breakout groups that they had for the last, I'd say, third of the meeting. So they focused on four areas. One was climate education, one was food and waste, one was energy, mostly focusing on building energy conservation. And then the one I was a part of was green infrastructure, which talked a lot about, you know, stormwater infrastructure in particular. But one of the big takeaways with that is sort of trying to find ways to get residents and individuals to adopt these sort of micro green infrastructure projects, rain gardens, bioswales, rain barrels, all of that, cisterns even, as ways to sort of prevent runoff, because, you know, communities like ours were old, built out, and have combined sewer systems. And, you know, the easiest way to stop rainwater from going into the sewer system and then down to Stickney is to get it into the ground. And so, you know, there's things like permeable pavers, but there's also these sort of smaller things that people can do as individuals, and what ways we can encourage people to adopt those practices was a big part of that discussion.
I wanted to ask about, so I was only able to make the first part of the Planet Green meeting, but I heard the chief sustainability person from Oak Park talking about a program that it sounded like they're providing some money for residents to do those kind of projects to reduce impermeable surfaces and stuff. And so I was wondering if you learned any more about that program or how it could impact River Forest.
I did not learn any about that. I know they have some of the sort of income targeted grant programs, and they, to be frank, have a much bigger pool of money to work with than we do. But I know her and I are planning to follow up more and talk about several of these things. What one of the things they're doing is over the next year is get an assessment of their impervious surfaces and where they can make improvements. And I know that's one of the things that, you know, from a public works and engineering perspective, our staff have really focused on ways to, you know, what can be done with that regard here locally. And then one of the projects I did highlight at the meeting very briefly, and we're sort of in the midst of several discussions as we get into capital planning and budget season here at Village Hall, is so if you've seen the condition of the Village Hall parking lot here, it is all asphalt and all pretty beat up asphalt. And what we're hoping to do is leverage grant funding. We're going to be seeking grants to make a permeable parking lot here. And then at that same time, install the conduit and everything needed for future installation of EV charging, both to expand out publicly accessible EV charging sort of along the lot, and then fleet focused EV charging in the future as we sort of make that. So that's going to be one of the, you know, at least from the village administration perspective, bigger projects we're going to be focused on just to sort of update our own sustainable practices. Yeah, and our hope is that we can secure grant funding over the next year and then have it completed over the next 2 years in an ideal time frame.
Can I add something? Or did my time expire?
Go for it.
Well, I completely forgot, but mine, like, Seth mentioned the different breakout rooms. I was forced into education against my will. But there was a lot of good things mentioned in it. The fact that we need to work with our school districts and encourage them to make it not just in science, but cross-curricular and experiential learning. Ben's dad, Mr. Cadlick, does some experiential learning over at Roosevelt with the trout and releasing them. And the fact that we also need youth involved in the decision tables. Like, I know I technically, I guess I'm still a youth, 20, I'm not 21. Me and AJ, but like, we need another youth as well as like, would be great to have one. And Oak Park has 3 open positions. So trying to, on their Energy Environment Commission, to, so trying to get kids interested in being at the table, not just at school, but also at non-school events like this.
Are there any other commission reports? Should we move on, Seth?
Yeah. Okay. So I started to introduce, we had run out of time last month to discuss the transportation related issues. I did reattach the same memo with an updated date, sort of highlighting all of the transportation related recommendations in the 2 UIC climate plans. And then after that, sort of copied again the sort of administrative feedback that I had provided a few months ago relating to these items. So it was just all fresh in everyone's mind. And if you didn't want to take the dive into the full reports. And then after that, I also included the survey feedback from the community survey for all the transportation related questions. So yeah, I really just wanted to open it up for all of your thoughts and ideas.
I think, yeah, related to transportation, an idea that definitely caught my eye would be, you know, the idea of a bike share system for the village. Because I'd heard about the village of Grays Lake did something like this. And the company that they worked with, Kalani, I think is how you say it, is something that I looked into for Triton to have a similar bike share system. And we didn't have the resources to implement it. But basically, the system that they have is it works functionally pretty similar to like Divvy bikes like they have in the city, where you check it out with your app. And, you know, there's a rate for the first hour. And then I think it changes a little bit after that. But, you know, it's very affordable. And that organization like maintains the bikes and they're built to, you know, be beat up and maybe not treated the best. But I was wondering if there would be any interest in that from the village or something worth looking into more. I think it'd be a question of would there be use for it? Because my kind of perception of River Forest is a lot of people already have their own bikes if they are interested in it. And so if the bike share system wouldn't be ideal for the village, another something that caught my eye was how can we increase information access to things related to bike safety and also bike maintenance. I was looking on the like bicycling page that we have on the Village of River Forest. And I saw there's a lot of great information about safety and stuff. But I thought something we could add is related to maintenance of your bike. Because I think, you know, a lot of people, it's just kind of natural, just like with your car over time, you're going to have maintenance related issues with your bike. And sometimes it, you know, isn't always the easiest to go take it into the shop or something like that. And there's a lot of, I think, resources that could be shared or even like an event or something to teach basic fixes to bikes and stuff. But also if we just had some information on the website, I feel like related to maintenance and care of your bike over time, And then also the plan from the website, the bicycle plan. I was wondering if that was worth discussing more today, because it looks like it was first created in 2019. And so I didn't know if that was worth looking through and possibly updating, because we have definitely changed kind of the bike infrastructure and biking in the village since then.
I want to echo your maintenance note. So the communication, there's that machine. I have no idea what it is, but it's at like the depot on Keystone, and it's the maintenance machine. I am intimidated by it. I have no idea what it does, but I know it's like bike maintenance. But it would be good to have that published either on up the website or the Instagram or Facebook page, whatever.
There's a bike swap in the spring at Roosevelt. Yes. And I wondered if that would be a good, since it's already a set up program, I wonder if that would be a good place to build off of that. And
that's a good idea.
Maybe it could be another service that's offered. Like, there's a bike swap, but also, bring your bike, because it comes at a good time of year. And actually, my neighbor does extremely low cost maintenance. And, I could talk to him about, would he come in and, both help and maybe have some students as well who
they have. I know the lady who runs it, and she, somebody donates their time. So you donate your bike, somebody donates their time to fix them all.
You mean, but I was thinking even like bikes that you weren't going to swap, like, bringing your bike
and have somebody look at it.
Yeah. And
like
have somebody
bike
work
fix shop, maybe have them come
during the swap.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I agree also, the biking is on my mind. I have three kids, so they're always in the street. My little one loves to wear a helmet because she's always looking for the little coupon Slurpees. They stop you if you have the helmet and they give them a little coupon, I think, still. Is that still a program?
I'm not sure. I think it was the police who had done that. Yeah, so yeah. They may still do that. Yeah,
it's like a huge thing in the 10, 11-year-old age group. So the older kids, not so much. But the main roads like Chicago and at least on the north side, I feel like are just so dangerous. All these kids are wearing such dark clothes and it gets dark at 4:30 and their bike lanes are just not really easily view from the cars. And I just feel like it's a huge hazard. I'm surprised there's not more injuries. I live off of Chicago, so there's constantly bikes going up and down the road. And I'm terrified that somebody's going to get killed.
But isn't the safest thing to do just to tell your kids not like just
drive on? Yeah,
yeah, exactly. If you go one block north,
it's not just my kids. I see kids all the time. So I can keep my, three off the road. One rides on the sidewalk. Yeah. But there's still every other. There's so much bike use.
I like the sidewalk idea, too. Yeah. I just think if there's nobody on the sidewalk, that's like the no-brainer bike lane.
Well, usually the kids ride in groups. And that's a big problem, too, because I think, again, it gets dark so early and not a lot of them do not have helmets. So it's just a hazard. So if there's more defined bike lanes, and I know it's probably a huge expense, but I think it would actually, help the safety, overall safety of bike riders.
I have to say, though, bike lanes on really, really busy streets. I used to work downtown and they put a bike lane on Clark, smack dab downtown. Okay. And they moved the parking spaces out in the middle of the street. And, somebody would open a door and get a bike messenger or somebody else, because there were people that would bike to work. And I guess I'd be a little bit more up for how about safe bike routes. Maybe outline a preferred, down the side street kind of things, because we've got a lot of quiet streets in River Forest,
I saw something that I think the school district has a safe walking route to school. I just think we need to work with them and amplify that more.
Yeah, maybe a safe biking route to school. Well, it might be the same route as walking. I don't know.
But. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think like when I see like after school, all the kids like leave, because I live right by Roosevelt Middle School. And like when all the kids leave on their bikes, it's just like a steady stream of of so many. So definitely if there's a way to, like, you know, offer a route for all of them to, I feel like if you can keep that group together and not just have bikes all over all the streets, which, you know, because it's kind of chaotic right now, if there was a way to maybe control some of that chaos or just offer, you know, information to parents about safe bike routes and such, and then also encourage visibility for these kids, because like you mentioned, this time of year, like when it gets dark so early, that can be a big concern.
I think Oak Street, is that what you're, Oak?
Yeah.
The kid with the wheelie who does like a wheelie through like four blocks.
Yeah.
Going back to Ben's idea about the Divvy or the bike share program, I feel like Oak Park tried this and then closed it down.
I don't know if it was a usage problem or I think it was usage. I think it was too low. It didn't justify the cost of it.
And theft.
Yeah, and potential theft. But I think, you know, now that I am more exposed to like a college environment, potentially maybe, you know, there's more use at Triton or the two colleges in the village. Maybe just the locations of the Divvy bikes could be a little bit more strategic.
Mm-hmm. Does that seem like something the colleges could coordinate on? Like maybe it's not worth it for one individual one. I don't know. Maybe they're too spread out. But
I can bring it up at ours and see what the interest is. Yeah. My kids are really interested in the scooters. So that would be my one hesitant. I hate scooters. I would be a little nervous if we would have Divvy bikes and the scooters, but I'm sure other people have different opinions.
And the other thing that struck me on the biking is just, I thought this was kind of a low hanging fruit to make sure that we have enough bike parking facilities. Yeah. And again, going to Roosevelt, I mean, when I pass by there on a nice day, there are bikes just attached to everything that doesn't move.
And people use trees. And this is the same at the high school whenever I go by there. Yeah. Upper usage, yes.
Yes. So, I mean, it's one of those things that, like, first of all, it warms my heart that so many people are riding their bikes, but it also seems like maybe we don't. So is that something that we can advocate for? Is it just something to come up? Is it a capital improvement? What would be the means of moving that forward and focusing on the, you know, I would think focusing on the transportation hubs like the Metra and...
Yeah, that's a good question. So the Metra facilities, I think that would all be village facilities, because it's village owned lots, village sidewalks. You know, with the middle school, that's obviously school district grounds, but there's also the library right there as well. And so I think there's probably opportunities for sort of intergovernmental collaboration. Granted, I'm just thinking of like the old metal racks of bike locks that I had when I was a kid, which are not expensive. And I know there's the, you know, bigger, there's the covered things, there's the massive steel sort of looped pipes that go into the concrete. So there's different types of options available, but I think it's, something worth exploring.
Okay.
What I will say for the schools, I bike quite often. I bike almost every day. When I went to Roosevelt, now I go to high school, I bike a lot. I have never not been able to find somewhere to put my bike. So even though it gets really, really packed at Roosevelt, there is almost always a spot there. And the high school is like insane. Like there is so much space at the high school. So that's, I will say, I've never had trouble with getting a space, but I do get to school earlier than other people sometimes.
Yeah, I think it's just the early aspect. Like I would always get there late and people would still be parking on trees and stuff.
So. Yeah. No, I definitely, sometimes if you arrive later, I think I have locked my bike to a tree before.
Sure. But anyways, if there's any place we can move that forward and I think that's a good place to start. I mean, I beyond biking, I think this whole...
Before we leave biking, yeah. Seth, has the village ever actually looked at how they would lay out the structure for bikes? Because I know they came through and they put paint on the asphalt and said, this is, you can bike on this. Well, that's the law anyhow. I mean, that's where bikes are supposed to be. Chucking them up on the sidewalk just creates hazard for anybody who's trying to walk up there. in all honesty. I mean, the kids tend to be pretty good, and they'll generally slide over on the grass or something because, you know, they, like I said, they're going to school. They're shooting down there one after the other. But it's not necessarily safe. And if you've ever ridden bikes on sidewalks, crossing streets is about as dangerous as a thing as you can do. It's much more dangerous than doing it from the road, in my opinion. Personally, been thrown, had to go the, you know, Clint Eastwood across hoods of cars a couple times. But when I think about, you know, some of the places I've been around the world, I mean, the roads are set up for both. And I know it's not necessarily always going to be seen as palatable, but at least looking at it and giving some consideration. So just hypothetically, if you took roads and you converted them to one way, parking on one side, bike lane on another, now you've got room. There's not, I mean, you hear me say this. I mean, I walk 6-7 miles a day in this community. So there's not many roads I don't hit. And not many days I could not get hit on foot. I mean, people speed. They don't honor the stop signs. They don't honor the crosswalks. I mean, the way to stop at an intersection is in the crosswalk, right? If you slow down at all. So to me, it's always been amazing that no kids have gotten hurt. Let alone adults walking. So the question is, has the village even looked at options that they could put forth to see what the interest would be of the community? But the only road that I know that has something in place that resembles a safe bike route is actually Thatcher, and that's from Lake North, you know, because it's wide enough in there that the two can somewhat go compatibly. But even on the basic streets within the neighborhoods, I mean, people are going up and down. You got cars parked on both sides. And so the kids and I've seen adults, I've seen people on e-bikes and motorized bikes on sidewalks just because they don't want to be on the streets. So just something, that's a question.
So I'm not super familiar with the 2019 bike plan. My knowledge of it is that, you know, a lot of the, what are referred to as the sharrows, the share the road arrow painting things were a lot of the recommendations that came out of that plan. And I believe that was mostly implemented other than some of the suggested things along Lake Street, for example. It's an IDOT-owned road, and there were several requirements regarding, you know, protected bike lanes there would be needed, and is there even enough width to do that? So just speaking from my very limited knowledge, you know, I don't know if the dedicated bike lanes on side streets has been looked at. I do know it was, you know, put forth in that plan for some of those more major routes within that 2019 bike plan, or at least I believe so. And then, you know, I know, Ben, you had asked earlier about, you know, is that, I honestly don't know the frequency in which bike plans get or should be updated. You know, I could tell you, our water system needs like an updated one every 10 years, but I don't know about bike routes and those things. And I do believe the Safe Routes to School plan was put together around the same time, if not the same year, as that bike plan. So there was at least some sort of cross coordination, or one piggybacking off of the other. Not wanting to get in too far into the territory of the Traffic and Safety Commission.
Yeah, I was going to ask who's responsible for the bike plan? Is that the
Traffic and Safety Commission? Okay. Yeah. So they handle most of these things, whether it's street parking restrictions or any sort of changing a street to a one way or a one way during a certain time of day, like we have around a lot of the schools. I know this all generally falls to them, and what they rely on is sort of a lot of data driven things of, oh, there are accidents at this intersection. We need an improved crosswalk here, or we need an extra stop sign, or changes from a two-way to a four-way stop, things like that. So I'm not familiar with their entire process. I believe it's usually resident petitions that they respond to. And then they really rely on the hard data analysis before basically taking that data, creating a point system out of it, and then that comes to a level of recommendation of, you know, what sort of traffic calming devices are needed. And it could be things as simple as, I think one of the streets right by Fresh Time, it was just adding painted parking spots to know, okay, this is the parking area. And then even that made the road feel a little bit more narrow to people driving, so they weren't turning off of North and flooring it. So it could be as simple as that. It could be, you know, installation of sort of right in, right out only things at intersections. So they have a whole list of sort of preset policies, and they really use their data to drive that. As that specifically relates to biking things, though, I don't know. I know that, you know, there's a lot of, you know, the metrics with, you know, pedestrian visibility, pedestrian crossing counts, those sorts of things that they do take into account. And I think that biking sort of just gets lumped into that, at least with some of the data I've seen with Washington Boulevard, that is the case. But yeah, without getting too far into the weeds there, that's my way of saying I know some, but not everything.
Does anybody think it would be a good use of time to try to meet with them? And I mean, it seems like all of these sort of bigger changes, bigger ideas need, well, I mean, first they have to gesticulate, but, you know, it is an interesting idea to think about, you know, slowing down traffic by making roads one way. And that's also getting at the bike paths and all kinds of issues all at once. But, you know, it's not going to happen overnight, and it's going to take some open-minded, but I don't know. Does anybody think that would be a useful thing to do?
Well, maybe at least find out if they have any plans to update the bike plan. Mm-hmm. You know, because I mean, if they were going to do it next year anyway, then maybe it'd be a good time to.
Yeah. But it just seems like it's asking a lot to make a street, you know, accessible for traffic both ways, parking both sides, plus, but I mean, there's just sort of a limit to what one street can do. So, you know, even sort of an intermediate of only being able to park on one side of the street. I mean, I'm sure there'll be some outraged residents, but that sort of opens it up. So now there's more space, and now, you know, now you can talk about maybe.
Well, and there may be some streets where it doesn't pose an imposition,
right?
You know, you can't do it on all the streets,
right? But you can't. And if you alternate, then a bike can sort of choose a street and say, like, okay, I'm going north on this street. I'm gonna choose the street that doesn't have parking on this side.
Well, it's the same thing when you're driving and like up in Elmwood Park, where every other street is one way in a different direction. Well, so you got to go over an extra block. Okay,
yeah, big deal.
You know that if you drive around there, yeah. Or you learn it pretty fast when you turn the wrong way.
I think another important thing is kind of like, I feel like the side streets, like we were talking about, I feel like then there's so much space on those side streets, especially like if you bike even on the streets just like right next to Lake, there'll be tons of open like parking spots, so you can just bike through. It's a lot safer for cars. And so like back to the whole thing, I think bike routes would make it, like, if people know specific bike routes, it'd make it a lot safer as well.
And like the re-highlighting, making it more clear with green roads, green spray paint. So I feel like, yeah, to your point, it would be beneficial to see if they want to have a joint meeting. I don't know if you can reach out to them, but yeah.
Or Seth, you know, we'd talk about Soul Smart at some point in time. We've done some of these other certifications. Is there something like that you're aware of for, I don't call it Safe Bike Community or whatever, you know, whatever it would be called, that.
Is that a Tree City Bike
Center? Yeah, whatever. One of these things, so that there's a basic, you know.
I'm
at least call somebody to start. Okay, let's start to pursue that, whatever that may be.
I'm not aware of anything off the top of my head, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And so, yeah, that might be, there's, if something like that existed, there's probably this existing framework of best practices that they would recommend adoption of, and that would be sort of a good starting point. Yeah.
Well, and hopefully, if there are best practices, that they would take into account the reality that you have to coexist with walkers and drivers and all the rest of that stuff. And if there's some best practices that could help us balance that, so you don't put somebody's nose out of joint, either the biker or the car driver or whatever, so we can all get along together.
Called compromise, right? So
yeah.
So it's not a perfect world in anyone's camp, but so there always will be somebody whose nose is out of joint, just as we saw with our blower. we're not covering that tonight. Don't worry about it. So, but yeah, looking for some compromise which creates a safe environment for anybody that wants to ride a bike, plus obviously the efficiency of the people within their motor vehicles and whatnot. So,
yeah, I think it's been a few years since I read the original study, but I feel like it was much more like, I think it was good, but kind of technical. It wasn't like grand, like let's think outside the box and come up with different ways we could utilize these shared streets. It was more like this street's 25 feet wide, so here are the options. And this street has X number of cars, so here are the options. Like, I think it'd be interesting to have maybe a broader discussion of what, like, I think kind of to your point of like, what are best practices that should be considered outside of sort of a technical assessment that you're paying a consultant to like assess every street. And I guess maybe the second part of that is like, I remember when they came out with that and then they like repainted all the crosswalks and it was nice. They put up new signs and it was like, oh, this is nice. And then I don't think there's been a single crosswalk painted since. So now they're all gone. Like, I mean, that's probably not literally true. I'm sure there are people, but like, there are a lot of crosswalks that, like, especially on the smaller streets that are now haven't been touched since. And it would be good to have kind of a plan for what the, if some of these best practices for pedestrian and bike safety are sort of like thought of long term as part of a ongoing plan or maintenance.
Well, thanks for bringing it up.
One other item in the report that it just triggered a thought on the kind of the EV permitting. And I think it was like a year and a half ago, or maybe it was longer, whenever, like, it was like when CJA was passed and then there was gonna be some best practices on like kind of not necessarily like required permitting, but sort of best practices the state was going to identify that cities and villages could adopt. And are we getting any updates? I guess I haven't heard of any like rules.
Is this for the homes or what?
It was like, what I remember of it is like, yeah, like home, like construction kind of, code and zoning. That would be like best practices for environmental and sustainability that the state was going to sort of recommend villages to adopt.
There are a few things. So with, I think most of the newer building codes directly, or the electrical codes directly address EV charging. There is a state requirement for residential new construction. If it's four dwelling units or less, there has to be one parking space per dwelling unit if parking is provided. And then larger than that, every space needs to be EV capable is what it is. So conduit and electrical load. And then there is a state certification for electricians to be certified EV installers. We are in the midst of developing that. So that can be easily searched for locally licensed or locally registered electricians, so we can see which ones have that certification. So that's something our building department has been working on for a little bit now, and I hope they roll it out soon. And then we did pass recommended zoning updates for relating to EV charging stations, but that's more to sort of anticipate, you know, a place is putting in charging stations, okay, it needs to be either like up on a curb or have bollards around it if it's in the middle of a parking lot, things like that. We do have like the new construction requirements to encourage it, you know, making sure the cords are either mounted or retractable so they're not being trip hazards, all the various things like that. That's, I believe we had all discussed that back in March when we met upstairs in the conference room. So those recommendations we had all talked through got adopted officially end of October, I believe, to the zoning code. So there are a few separate things recommended like that. And then I know with regards to like building and electrical codes, the state also came out with these things called stretch codes, which are sort of more, I don't know.
I think that's what I
yeah,
was
encourage thinking, yeah. More environmentally sustainable practices, I believe is. Yeah. And I think those just got published and are like set to, I don't know if take effect or allow for local governments to adopt starting next year, I believe.
Okay. Is that something that like village staff would look into, or is that something we would look at?
Village staff would look into it. So we went almost two decades without updating our building codes and updated it for the first time since like 2005 last year or 2 years ago. And so we're trying to get on the regularly updating the code cycle. But that could be something if you all wanted to pursue to recommend to the board to sort of encourage the adoption of stretch codes. I'm personally not as familiar with what that would all be, but yeah, that would be something certainly within all of your capacity as the sustainability commission to recommend to the board and then the board to direct staff to adopt.
Well, Seth, before we did that, would you suggest we first let the village look through and like they did with the IC report, someone tick the box and say, yeah, we're doing it. And then it only becomes a question on those outliers for us to look at.
Yeah.
So I had one other idea. This is not really coming out of any of the recommendations, but I was looking at the like vehicle registration fees and just wondering if we should offer some incentive / reward for people who are adopting hybrids and electric vehicles just by kind of tweaking a little bit, like, you know, trying to make this revenue neutral, but, you know, maybe lowering the cost of EV cars, EV and hybrids. And I just wondered,
either what? That or raise everything else $5. And
yeah, if you want to piss people off, yeah, yeah.
Hey, Cryo Park. I went from like $150 for a sticker down to like $25.
Oh, theirs are so that they're that much higher than ours.
I don't think there was any senior grade. We've got a pickup truck, so you don't get it. That's what it was. You can get a senior brake, but not on a
pickup truck,
which to me makes no sense. What difference does it make what vehicle you drive if you're old?
Well, I was looking at the car ownership. These are a couple of years old, but it's like 50% of the village has two vehicles, 32% have one, and then, you know, drops off. 12% have three. So one idea was just to, you know, maybe increase the registration on people that have so many cars. But then, you know, incorporate in that breaks for people that are incorporating EVs and hybrids. And I just wondered what people thought about this.
I like the idea of having a differential between them, you know, but I don't think it'd be real popular with the president and trustees who, you know, when we talked about Lake and Lathrop and everything and changing the zoning and all the rest of that, are looking for ways to increase revenue. But if we can find a neutral way of doing it, I think that'd be a good incentive. I don't, somebody's not going to go out and buy it just because they're going to save a few dollars, but it makes a statement. And they can feel a little good about themselves.
And also, I mean, it would carry through over the lifetime of the car. So even if you're just talking about a difference of, you know, $5, it's for the life of the car. So, which is still not a lot of money, but yeah, it's a reward, and you know, people hate paying fees. So.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think I was really annoyed when I first learned I had to even pay a fee for the car here. And I still think it's a little strange that cities and villages, like, you register with the state and you pay all the gas tax, you pay all the other stuff with the state that monitors and registers it. And then the towns that don't really, maybe I'm missing something, but I don't know really what their direct like impact is of somebody having like two cars in a garage instead of one. But well, I do.
But that's how they maintain the roads. So that's.
Well, I don't think. Yeah. I don't know that the Village River Force is getting a lot of their like road maintenance funds from the registration fee. It's probably, if any, is like a pittance.
I would say it's mostly gas tax.
But I in general, I do think it's a good idea if it's nominal, but I think it's like, I think there'll probably be a lot of people upset of just like have the visceral reaction of like, wait, what? Like, there's a change to a fee.
Yeah, well, the median income in River Forest is such that, I mean, I've looked at some numbers recently, and they may get annoyed, but come on. A lot of, I won't say everybody, but a lot of people in River Forest could afford to pay an extra $5 a year. I don't think that's going to kill many people. I won't say there aren't any, but yeah, people do tend to grouse when things go up, even if it's not much, but they'll get over it.
Sounds like the bigger question to the village, and in fact, I know it is to all of the municipalities statewide, is how do they make up for the loss of gas tax as everybody goes electric? That's a whole other discussion.
Oh, they're talking about charging extra.
They're going to have to do something
to the electric vehicles, yeah, because they don't get any
toll roads or whatever. But, you know, I just, we've had the discussion a little bit, and I just think it's a complexity you don't need. I don't think anybody's going to buy an electric vehicle or not buy it because of the $5.
No, I don't think that's going to make the difference there.
To me, the big tell was in, you know, the survey that we got back, where a lot of it just gets down to really readiness of the technology at this point in time. You know, what I read into that, there's a lot more positive than negative. There's always some that say, don't bother me, and that kind of stuff. But you get that in anything. Most people seem like, yeah, if they're ready for a car and the technology supported their lifestyle, then they'd be all for it. So I think that, just my opinion from the standpoint of this commission, the thing we can continue to do is just keep putting out there, you know, the information so that people have it, and so they have some place they can go, and you know, it's still a little bit clumsy to try and find some of the stuff, I think, unless you're really looking for it on our site. But, you know, and also to help dispel some of the tribal knowledge out there that people have that spread, like these things cost more or cause more fires. Well, they don't, you know, and other types of items that get out there because of one that becomes a big sensational thing on the news. That's my own opinion. And then over time, as the technology continues to evolve, which is happening fairly quickly, I think you see just a natural progression to it, regardless of what this administration does or doesn't want to do. I mean, the automakers globally are behind this. I mean, if anyone thinks that China's going to back off because of anything Donald Trump's doing, they're not. And they're pushing the world on this stuff. So I think it's inevitable that it moves in this direction. We just need to, I think, kind of be patient and continue to put in place what the village can to kind of keep pace with where it's at and where it needs to be, or where it's going to be going. And along with that becomes part of the just keeping information out there and helping to promote it.
By the way, you mentioned something that made me, what happened to us getting a button or something on the opening page of the site to our, did that ever
I thought Louise was going to take care of all that stuff for us.
I think we did. It just was.
I would if they'd let me change it. No.
A little bit lower than we wanted it to. So we wanted it here. It is. Oh, right there.
Oh, okay. I just haven't gone out there in a while. All right. Good.
So, yeah, this one they needed to keep like the.
Yeah. Okay. That's too bad. It would have. They could have made those smaller and just.
But yeah, we got it right there. And there's the bicycle guide.
Okay.
I have a question in regards to the EV charging stations, the new ones that are coming. What's the progress, and when are they going to be installed? And can we do maybe a little marketing? I'm sure you'll publicize it.
So we just awarded the contract to the design firm. So we actually, I believe, have our kickoff meet, like our official kickoff meeting with them next week. But they've already started planning to get surveyors out and all of that stuff that they need to do. But yeah, we're hopefully to, this is all still very early on, but to speed up the process, going to try and do a design build option where once they get far enough in the design, they will be actually the ones to then bid it out to the electrical contractors to just sort of not have there be that delay of they finish up their work and then we get it posted. And then I just had a follow-up with, I need to get back to one of the EV charging station people from ChargePoint last week, just so we have the lead time for them to get everything done. But yeah, it will be, it's still early in the process, but yeah, it will 100% be publicized. And then, yeah, I know one of the big things we'll need to figure out with this commission, the fee that came out of this charging station, is how to sort of equitably work with these new charging stations, especially the fast chargers, which I'm sure will be high in demand from day one because you can get to 80% in 20 minutes for your charge. So, yeah.
Some of my questions. So, Seth, these will be village owned, right?
Yes.
So the rates will be set by the village on them?
Correct. Yep. Just like this commission recommended the rate that the board adopted for the charging station over here. We will need to, figure out the rates to charge for these ones. And I do know there, I believe there are some limitations as to exactly what we can charge for the level two ones. But I think the state requirements know that because the fast chargers are in such high demand, you can just charge. And
are those limitations coming from the grant?
Yeah, it's grant stipulation. So I don't know what it is off the top of my head, but I even just emails back and forth to the state, they've sent out sort of blast emails to all the recipients, like, are you planning on charging for these stations? And just trying to gauge info. And I know they've got certain parameters that I just don't know off the top of my head, but that will be something once the process is fully rolling along, I will be giving you all regular updates on. And then definitely want to shout it from the rooftops when we go from two public charging ports in town to I believe 20.
Wow. Yeah, no joke. I think it would benefit us to have a ribby cutting. I'll bring the ribbon and the scissors.
Not exactly sure where you'd stretch it, maybe between the charging.
It's going to go from the Metro lot all the way over to the Franklin lot, all the way up to the CVS lot.
And have a whole row of people with scissors chopping a lot.
Just had a thought here. In fact, it's coupling a thought that I had before with somewhat where I know where Susan's trying to go here with this. Registration fee. But, if we think about the elements we're talking about and have been talking about here in what we call sustainability, I don't know, there's like five or six of them or whatever it is. Would it be of value? Do you think any of you in the community have interest in, to have a little scorecard type of thing that somebody could stick in their front yard that has these various elements, and they can, you know, sustainable households status kind of thing. So somebody really wanted to progress it. You know, people got the yard signs out that say, hey, all my weeds here in my front door are part of my urban forest or whatever you want to call, or they call it thing, wildlife area. But something that we set some standards to, and then you can give people that. So, you know, one of the things that, you know, we, I think at least myself, wrestled with on this whole blower thing is the homeowner's got to be the one to push this stuff. Ultimately, that's the best way to do anything. But if some homeowner says, hey, I've contracted only for all electric, or I'm all electric or by hand, me, right? So those are the elements and types of standards. And somebody could say, I do this. So it does a couple of things. If one helps the neighbors see that there's other people doing this stuff, and you get back to the 100th monkey thing that some of you heard me talk about before, where, you know, as it builds and builds and builds, and everyone wants to be a part of it. That would something like that, you think, make sense or be any interest in doing something like that?
I was thinking the exact same thing. So yeah, maybe like a little sticker in your car, yeah. You know, like a little button. So yeah, in your yard. Exactly. My kid used to go to Lincoln, and the walk to school day or week, they would give a little ribbon or a shoelace or something, and they'd tie it on their backpack, and they were so proud, and everybody could see, like, if you walked 5 days a week, you got five of them. And it was just such it just motivated everybody to walk that week. But yeah, something along the same line where there's just exactly by household, you can have a scorecard, a sticker in your front window. Green thumb or something.
Having, you know, a yard full of things like election time, you got kind of one, and you can see all the elements and where's a household on it. You know, so those people that want to do it would do it, right? Those that don't, you know, want.
I feel like.
But some way at least to help get the residents helping to promote the fact that they're interested in doing these things is where I'm coming from.
Well, and getting kids to involve too, like you were saying about the, you know, wildflowers in your yard, and you get a certification that you're a monarch friendly yard or something. I think that'd be fabulous. Yeah.
My thought is that stickers might be more effective. I myself would get backlash from my parents being like, why you want a yard sign just for this? They're more about all those election stuff. So I think a sticker, a tiny little sticker at your front window, and you can like build it up, five stickers or something, would be more effective and less. Because I feel like with a yard sign too, people might, I doubt this, but like maybe some people would judge you if you had this big yard sign. But yeah, I'm the sticker route.
Yeah, I also agree. I think a sticker would be definitely a good route to go with this.
I think there'd be a lot of benefit to, for something like this, to the composting program. So you can see which of your neighbors are involved in something like that. And I feel like it's a great conversation starter, because you don't see if a house is composting, if they just have the little tote in their kitchen and stuff. But that could really help spread that program as well.
And maybe there could be some kind of block-wide recognition when you got a block where X out of Y homes have a level. Well, like
Prepare
the,
the
like
month,
the lead,
yeah.
You know, gold, the platinum, whatever. Well, I'm sure we probably have PR and marketing people that can come up with these kind of campaigns, right? Or we can hire somebody, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, is there a marketer in the room that can come up with all the names, the catchy names? And
I know someone. So, yeah, if we want to go forward, I can. She's also a graphic designer. I know we got a graphic designer, but yeah.
Well, the first thing is that if people think that's the right thing to do, define the elements and what's the standard. All right. So, you know, so.
Yeah, figure out what you're grading people, you know, what you want to include.
Like, I don't know how the urban wildlife, I don't know how they do that. I mean, I don't know where they get those from, or what the standard is or anything like that. So, but that's just a thought.
Well, it's like the LEEDS programs, you know, there's, you'd have to come up with the criteria for, you know, qualifying for the level one sticker.
It would be nice to involve businesses in this as well, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, to me, it's a house or entity, whatever you want to call
it. Yeah, maybe the business outline.
Well, does somebody who's artistic and creative want to take kind of the ball and run on this, at least kind of frame it a little bit?
I'm definitely not creative, but I can come up with some definitions and criteria.
Oh, that'd be a good start.
Yeah, I think just like, hey, these are my, you know, yeah, I don't know, five.
The creativity, you know, what the stickers look like can be later.
Or what it's called or something is not my thing.
I do believe Oak Park has like green or sustainability awards for their Energy and Environment Commission. I think it's mostly focused on like the business institutional stuff. Mm-hmm. What you all mentioned with the residential stuff. So I'm an Oak Park resident. I actually serve on one of the commissions, the Community Design Commission. And every year we award individual houses in each section of Oak Park and then one block, if nominated somewhere, what they call Cavalcade of Pride Awards, which is basically like the design of the house and then the landscape and all of that. And then if there's one block that has several strong homes on it, they'll get a block-wide award. And a block north of me still has their like sign up along the parkway from like 4 or 5 years ago.
That's what kind of it's sustainability?
So that is more like architectural stuff, but there is some sort of sustainability award process, at least for businesses and institutional things. So they've got some sort of framework there, but that's just where my thought process went to.
If we want to, I can reach out them and like work with you maybe on coming up with creativity and cool phrases and stuff. So yeah,
I can put like, I don't know, 5 or 10 together, pass it along to you, and then if you want
I will put some graphics and email do you know that I'll find who's the chair of the Energy and Environment Commission and bring that back to the team.
Do you think we should move on to communications just so we have enough time to?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me share my screen here one moment. So I included this in the packet, but I just sort of outlined. Oh, why is this not? There we go. Just sort of outlined. So here's our current year. It ended up being one long scroll of things, but I just so it all fits more neatly into one screen. Just a rough draft of communication stuff. April, there's a lot of things going on, so I just sort of plugged in there. I did plug in some general things with question marks that we're not necessarily committed to. And we obviously do not need to get this all filled in or even anything beyond January filled in.
Seth, what months or what part of the year do you tend to have blanks and need more content than others?
I mean,
are there any blank spots that you need to fill in?
Yeah, I mean, any month we can really shift it to what you all are interested in. I sort of put together this memo of there are a lot of things in the climate plans that were just about sharing resources for individuals. And I know we had done the, updated river forest trees webpage, which we have not really publicized yet, but wanted to just sort of get all this information out of you and then get a framework for the communications calendar to see if you all had any input on, things you wanted to focus on. I know one of the things we discussed last month, and Jamie, you weren't here was using some of the pictures and some of the stuff you guys learned from the LRS tour and having that as some sort of communications, possibly one of the monthly newsletters.
Well, how about for one of our weeklies, because they're shorter, a little blurb pointing out the things on the bottom of the opening screen there, you know, roll down your screen and you can get right to the sustainability, you know, click here and maybe the biking one too. I could put that together because you could use that anytime that you wanted to, and yeah, you might use it multiple times in a year just to remind people.
Yeah, and I know, I believe May, yes, I have it on the calendar there. May is bike month. So if we really wanted to focus in communications several times that month on biking related things, I had sort of made a list during our biking related conversation earlier. The two big things in terms of sharing information that I wrote down were, at the very least, sharing the existing map outlining bike routes. And then sharing information for bike maintenance for people. You know, I know you had said the sort of toolkit over here can be overwhelming, and just sort of sharing links to basic bike maintenance tips for residents could be something to plug in there. Do have several other notes, but those are bigger things in terms of any sort of bike city designation, working with the Traffic and Safety Commission, bike parking facilities, and any updates to the bike plan.
Well, does anybody think that maybe, now we just did a survey, you don't want to do a survey right now, but maybe in the springtime or early spring or something, in connection with bike stuff, doing a survey for bikers, you know, find out what their issues might be or what they think we could do to, you know. And this could be a much shorter survey because it'd be a single topic.
Yeah, and I do believe there is some existing bike group, some sort of organized bike group within River Forest, because I know that they were sort of directly engaged as part of the Des Plaines River Trail discussion. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think there's an audience for that as well. But yeah, really just wanted sort of.
Yeah, Seth, I see two. One, to our opening discussion when I came in the room, I don't know where you would put it out there, but I think there needs to be something that's fairly overt to the homeowners, not just buried in a newsletter that says, hey, you know, you're responsible for your landscaper. You know, please make certain they know that no leaves can go in the street after this date, right? That'd be something versus going hand to hand to the houses and telling them. I don't know where you'd put that in there. The other thing is the package that you presented that you shared with us. I think it'd be good to take that and kind of bring it down a little bit in a bit of an article, just so that the overall community know this is what has been done this past year. You probably don't need all the detail that you put in the presentation, but just some of the highlighted elements, as well as particularly some of those things at the bottom that are you had in there. This is what we're going to be, and then, the key things for 2025.
And yeah, then maybe a link if they, you know, wanted to read more.
And I think that would make sense to be just that first monthly newsletter being published January 3rd.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Highlights, and then hit this link if you want to read the whole thing.
Yep.
And also, I mean, maybe this goes whenever we don't have one. I mean, we could have many, but mentioning, I don't know, do you have an update on community solar? Is the village still?
We are still doing it. The participation rate is very low, so that would be definitely something to try and
encourage
people to sign up for.
And I think because my parents lost the link and they were like, where is it? So maybe just re-putting it out there.
Yeah, and it is somewhere in the website. I can even just send it to you directly to sort of redirect them. But
if you just type in Village of River Forest Community Solar, it'll take you right there.
I have a question in regards to LRS. Do we get two mailers per year? I feel like we did one a while ago. And if
I believe it's one.
Is it just
year.
One? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, we're coming up on a new calendar year. Yeah. So whenever we want to. I think that was, did that go out in April?
I can't remember.
We should put our faces on the next mailer when the mailers.
We probably should start thinking of what we want to communicate to besides our pictures, as our mugs.
I feel like sort of in relation to LRS for one of the communication ones, we could talk about like, I know how like all those bottles and stuff, they all have like the numbers underneath them. And I feel like a lot of people don't know each of the numbers kind of means. Yeah. So I feel like if we could show people like what each number means for like recycling and all that. Because I know it changed when we switched from Roystrom to LRS. Those numbers decreased. I think you can recycle less now.
No, we can. You can recycle everything except number six.
So yeah. It stayed the same?
Yeah. So, anything other than polystyrene. But there are other plastic materials. So, like, plastic bags are not polystyrene, but you can't recycle them. Or can't recycle them in curbside recycling. You can do the drop-off facility at Jewel or Harzion or the high school or anywhere else that like that that collects them. But, yeah.
So just like maybe an overall summary, that wouldn't be like necessarily a bad idea.
AJ, is there anything from the student side that you want to write up? Get that going on?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
High school geothermal.
What?
The high school, they're going through with geothermal. I'm not sure if you're aware of that, but that's why the football field is like torn up.
Oh yeah, well, I was wondering, the football field's like completely, they tore the whole thing up.
But I'm thinking about what your committee at school and.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not aware of if they have any plans as of right now. But yeah, I'm not the one to go to for that.
Do we know who the faculty advisor is? Maybe we could.
For Roosevelt?
Yes,
Roosevelt or the high school?
High school.
Cindy Wong. I can put whoever wants to be in contact.
Today?
Cindy Wong. But yeah, I know we had talked about, I don't know what you were envisioning for, because I know when we met with the library, you like mentioned partnering with the high school somehow, but yeah, I feel like it would be good to get high schoolers engaged. But when I went to visit them to forget what I was talking about. Maybe I was just there for a visit because I missed them. But there were no River Forest students, so Owen Ruby, who applied, and Gabe Ruby, are the only two River Forest, so it's very low. So,
and I did receive that application from one of them and passed it along. I'll follow up with our staff on that.
I had another idea for this calendar, potentially kind of inspired by what Gary was saying about the signs, like in the lawn. I don't know if this would be appropriate material for this, but I think it'd be cool to do a kind of like spotlight of different, houses and residencies in the village and see how that, like, different people in the village practice sustainability on a day-to-day basis, and they could share their stories, like tips and tricks, what they do, something like that. So I didn't know if that would be something feasible, but I think it would be interesting.
Yeah,
I think that would be great. I know when I had first started on here at the village, that was sort of one of the things I think the commission, I think Susan and Jeff were the only two still on the commission from that time, but trying to sort of promote is just sort of sharing, like, this is what your neighbors are doing sort of thing in a lot of the communications. And
How would we find those people? I mean, I think it's a great idea, but
the issue is,
I guess we could have some kind of a nominee process where we, you know, we just put
nominate
out
that, your neighbor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cause I mean, there are people out there that would know, be sort of embarrassing to put yourself forward. And I do this and this, but
I think when I started, there was like one of the monthly news articles was like about a family that just installed rooftop solar, and it was just like talking about their experience and that. But again, that's something you can only run once, and then you're not gonna like go back like, oh, 2 years ago this family did this.
Yeah, I think I did that. I think it was one of Beth's friends is how we found out. So yeah,
didn't we highlight a garden, that woman that has the amazing garden on Gale? She was
I remember that as well.
She has, it's very impressive.
Well, there's the garden club. That'd be maybe a way of finding out about gardens if that were of interest. Mm-hmm. People have to pull permits to put solar panels on. So yep. maybe through that process. Now, you know, you don't want somebody to think you're stalking them. Hey, we saw you pulled up a permit and would you like to, you know, but I mean, I think if you approached it.
Because I think the other thing it does is it puts people out in the community that if you want to know more about this, you know, if you know this person, reach out to them.
Yeah. And like, but I feel like we can somehow loop in that process with the sticker idea. It could have them nominate to have a sticker, but also to be recognized. I don't know.
Yeah, like, how about just putting solicit resident input of share yours or a neighbor's sort of sustainability achievements, and then.
Well, yeah, can't this be a standard link in what we put out? Whatever, share yep. your story or whatever, yep. right? That they can hit the link and come back in and just give a few basic bullet points, and then somebody could get back and follow up. And that way you establish more of a flow of information instead of trying to drag it. So once you may have 15 and sometimes you're going to have nothing, but at least.
Well, and I don't know, maybe if this is a, call it a program. I don't know what the right word is. Maybe program isn't, but maybe to kick off the idea of doing this kind of thing and advertise it, there could be a contest of some kind where one time, not every time, but one time, maybe there's something you could give away. I don't know what it would be. Maybe either car sticker that year or something that would be.
We've done like free compost for a month.
Yeah, there you go. But something that you could give away that wouldn't be too costly to the village, and you're not going to change somebody's life with 1 month of free. But again, it's just symbolic. I think that people that are into doing these things take a certain amount of pride in what they're doing, whether it's their garden or that's how I felt about my compost bins. I had one, and then I had two, then I had three, then I had four. My husband built them out of old pallets because we lived near a mattress store, and then put chicken wire around them. Well, if somebody had said, hey, you want to tell us your story? Yeah, that would have been great. I would have been happy to do that. And I think people that are into these kind of activities probably would feel that way. But I agree, Manolo, with what you were saying about it's all seems like different parts of the same program, that the stickers and the spotlight in the newsletter and so on, reaching out to the village and finding out what people are doing and publicizing what they're doing so they can maybe influence their neighbors. I think we call it influence management, right?
Influencers. Do you want to be a green influencer?
Yeah. But I'm still hopeful, and this is sort of a back burner thing. I'm still thinking about, because I live in a condo, and there's a bunch of us that have this little informal green condo group. I'm still thinking about what I can do or what we can do around condos, because we don't have all the programs that are for single homeowners. And, you know, some of them, yes, we could have composting if we wanted to pay extra for it. And in my building, it wouldn't make sense. Other buildings, it might. But I still think that might be something that I'd like to work on. But I don't have any clear ideas about it yet.
I believe St. Luke's just installed composting, and you live very close to them.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
I'll have to ask because most of my building goes to St. Luke's, so I'll have to ask.
They just had a big dinner and they sort of kicked it off and composted a tremendous amount of it. So those good. Bins are rarely ever full. So,
well, I could just walk across the street then with my okay,
yeah.
Seth, one more question. I know you mentioned the LRS visit did, and I know, I'm sorry, I missed last month. Did anybody do a write-up? Do we need to do a write-up? Do we need to do a write-up?
We have not done a write-up yet. So if you would like to do a write-up, that would be awesome. I do have all of your pictures. I got that link saved. So
is the write-up for this or something else?
Yeah, we can do a newsletter, social media. So if you want to do a short one, I could plug it into either of these dates next month. If you wanted to do a more comprehensive one, it could run at the start of February.
What was the word count?
100 for the weeklies. Okay. I think 350 for the
350. Okay.
Big ones. So,
yeah. I don't know. I'm just feeling so excited about this idea. I feel like we could. Everyone's points of just having bullet points of, because I feel like, to Louise's point, you would. I'm thinking you would nominate yourself because you're proud of this, what you've done. And I think our community might do that as well. Maybe their neighbors know that they do it, so it would get done. But I feel like if we just say, give us a few bullet points of why your house, or even I don't know if it was mentioned or not, but I think businesses should also be included, of like, what does your business have that they can be separate surveys, I guess, and just like listing bullet points. I don't know if we want to take more time, but I think it would be cool to start it in the new year. And like, we don't have to have the stickers and everything gone out, but it can just be in the newsletter.
Another thing we could do is we could recognize blocks. Like, would it be difficult to go through and see like which, you know, like the top three blocks that have the most composting? Does that seem like it would be straightforward?
Yeah, because I would just need to look at the address. Yeah. So yeah, that.
I mean, do you think that'd be a good place to start? It's like, be very easy for us to do, and it's. I just think it's a.
Then you spotlight, I don't know about the block. Yeah.
Well, we spotlight the block, but we're also it's another way of spotlighting the composting program. Yes. Say, like, look, yeah. You know, some blocks are.
That seems like that'd be low hanging fruit.
Very low hanging fruit.
Pretty darn easy to do.
And just sort of kick us off, you know, like maybe every month we could have a, you know, different. Personally, I feel like 2025 is going to be a year where people are going to be very receptive to good news. And so sometimes just by like every time I read something that says good news, I'm like, yeah, good news. So maybe, you know, it could be under like sort of a good, you would have like a good news corner of our newsletter, and just say like, you know, we just like to recognize, you know, these three blocks, which, you know, have such a high participation, you know, good job. If you have questions about composting, why don't you seek out somebody on these blocks to talk to? And, you know, by the way, we have this composting.
And if there's somebody on those blocks that has not signed up, they can even share a cart with their neighbor if they want to, because they've got plenty of neighbors to choose from.
I love
that. Yeah, definitely.
Then we're highlighting that you can share. But, you know, I mean, just like, we're just coming in and taking unique tack of just the, because we're just saying it all over and over again the same way, to say, you know, like, hey, look at this block. They're really doing it. And, you know, like, wouldn't you like your block to be up here next year?
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm afraid what's the percentage of composting in the village? It's like 20. Yeah,
roughly 20%. Okay. Yeah, it might be like 18%. It's right around or just over, is it 500 households out of roughly 3,000, 2,900-ish.
But if you threw in backyard and sharing, I'm sure it's 25%.
True. So. Yeah.
Yeah, there's only a few formal sharing ones, but I mean, there's probably, I mean, two dozen from a survey response a couple years ago, informal sharing ones.
And then there are three bins out front, which are very full every week. So yeah. somebody's coming over here. And
definitely. Too. I don't. Yeah.
Or you have something to do here and you bring one compost.
I don't know if that's why I think we might want this other program, I mean, I follow good news accounts. Maybe we just shout out good news Instagram accounts. But to your point about good news, but like maybe because like I feel like we're gonna run out of ways to say get compost, but maybe it will work. I guess I'm just pessimistic, but yeah, that's my point. I have
it's an easy thing to do, virtually zero cost, except for Seth's valuable time, which I do not want to underappreciate. You know, it's just who knows, and you know, it's true, under the throw the spaghetti against the refrigerator and see what sticks, and you never know. Yeah,
true.
All right. I put together a just very short page and a half, basically bullet points memo of the various topics from the USC climate plans. We do not need to dive into that. That was just offering ideas for how you guys wanted to steer this commission over the next year going forward. I know there's a couple things we've been working on still hanging out there. We talked about leaf blowers this month and we will not, but I will get some more feedback from the board and the staff and then have something back to you on that. And then I had not to lose track of the forestry stuff we had talked about a couple months ago. I had looked into expanding that out to deal with all of the various native plantings and all that stuff. And then it just sort of started snowballing. And then we will, this will be announced officially soon, be receiving a grant next year to help with tree planting
and native gardens.
And yes, and it'll be like a native garden assessment with people coming out next summer with like a bunch of recommendations and stuff. So I'm going to just sort of re-narrow that back to what we had initially discussed a couple months ago of just finding ways to preserve old growth oak and elm trees on private properties, and probably have something back for you in the coming months. But beyond those couple of items, just I've taken a lot of notes today on various things. I just want to make sure I've got all of your feedback and input on these things. So going back to the biking stuff, I'd mentioned at some point want to just sort of reshare the biking map at the very least, and then bike maintenance information using our communications plans. We'll need to look into bike parking facilities, and that's probably an opportunity to partner with the school and the library on that. And then just I will need to, on my own, sort of check to see how often bike plans get updated, if there's ways to sort of coordinate with the Traffic and Safety Commission on any broader biking infrastructure issues, and then looking to see if there's any sort of bike city designation. I'm sure that's not the actual term, but just some sort of framework for best practices.
I like that term. People said share the road.
Yeah.
Is that what's called?
Then next, need to assess feasibility of adoption of stretch codes. That's another thing I'll need to look into behind the scenes before I come back to you all. And then we talked about the vehicle registration fee changes. And then there was the community scorecard recognition, some sort of award, yard sign, sticker. And I did know, Jamie Manolo, you were going to take a first pass at that. Communications things. Gary, I know you had mentioned just getting some information out there, sort of responding to the resident feedback about EV concerns could be a potential future topic. Jamie, you had noted the LRS thing. Luis, you had noted just one of the quick weekly blurbs to sort of promote the guides, particularly the sustainable living guide. That'd be awesome. And then going through here, reemphasizing community solar and communications, and then sort of developing some sort of nomination form thing to put out there for people to share their own or nominate their neighbors for sustainable practices. And then one of the first things to look at is quickly recognizing the three highest rate composting subscriber blocks and using that to sort of promote the composting program. Did I miss anything, or do we have anything?
I'll just share this with you. You would have found this in your first 1 minute of search too, but the League of American Bicyclists recognizes city and towns with Bicycle Friendly Community Award.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm wondering.
I'm wondering,
back to our community scorecard kind of thing. I wonder if anybody else, Evanston, you know, Elmhurst, other, if any other communities have done anything.
I'll
like
Google that. It when I put it together. The scorecard, yeah, 5 to 10. Yeah, I'll look at other communities. Maybe we can see if there's something. I can
look at other
villages
sites and see if they have any.
Exactly.
I'm a believer in stealing ideas.
Yeah.
We don't live in a bubble.
If it's already created,
yeah,
don't
exactly.
reinvent the wheel. Yeah. We'll work so on true. That. Seth, how are you, like, how are we going to decide who's a compost block? Is it going to be three households or like?
No, the block numbers. So he's going to go through.
I know,
each
but like, oh, are we just.
Like, which block has the most households that compost?
We're just starting now with the most.
Just looking at who are subscribers now and if it's, you know.
You divide it up by like hundreds or something.
Yeah.
So
okay, yeah, there could be.
That was my one question of,
yeah, that's
I think
what
it's
I was
the thinking. 500 and 600.
The 5 and 600.
Yeah, so I would say 500. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. And how are you going to count a shared, just in case you, how are you going to count a shared?
Probably do a percentage.
A few of them, but I will just.
I would count it as two households because they're both, they're both officially. And you know what else? It might be another, I don't know how motivated people are with this, but it might be another way to get people on record of like, oh, well, we all share this, but, you know, you're not getting recognized because you didn't get official about it. Again, it's hard to tell what's going to motivate people, but maybe we'd get one.
And I'm sorry, I have one more question. The looking forward is where, what page was that on? So for next year, so.
That was just.
Did I miss it in the?
I had emailed you all that.
34.
Oh.
And I wondered, what would you all think of resilience as being our January topic? And was there something you would prefer to talk about next month?
I defer to you all. I can certainly
resilience
do that. Yep.
Yeah. It's
I did notice too some of the two highest ranking items or topics that like people like to learn more about are not really frequent topics of discussion for us or our area of expertise. So
what were the two highest?
Urban forestry and green,
local wildlife and biodiversity.
Yeah.
So it made us think about maybe ways
or like
high level ways we could maybe find people, well, find the experts or find.
I know, we've got a couple small forestry things, but yeah, looking into sort of more of the plant stuff will certainly become a bigger thing I'll be diving into going forward. And then, you know, with the wildlife biodiversity, I know, Ben, you had talked about the bee campus designation that Triton has and exploring the bee city designation and things like that. And I know, I think it's might even be Berwyn. There's one community that has like a sort of what they call a pollinator pathway of just like an entire parkway stretch of pollinator planting to sort of encourage sort of a street monarch path, essentially. Mm-hmm. So
for the urban forestry, there's a physical document that the Public Works passes out. Do you know if there's an electronic version of that we could include in a weekly newsletter and link to? It's like the most appropriate trees to plant if you're.
Oh yes.
You know, do you think there's?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so.
Maybe we could just highlight that.
Is it one of these documents?
We had a tree dying. I was out looking to see
this. There's this one from the Forest Service, And then there's this one from the Morton Arboretum. And this has got... This has
not,
got...
Yeah, neither... Yeah, but yeah. This, yeah, actually, this... That might be it.
And it's got sort of...
Yeah, maybe that's... I mean, again, we don't have the expertise.
Planting sites.
But it's out there.
The... You know, how fast they grow in the first 10 years.
Yeah, but maybe we could just link, have a little write-up and link this in a newsletter about...
And
you know, probably January is not when people are thinking about planting trees, but you know, maybe like March, April.
Yeah.
Seth, I thought you were, we had talked about you putting something out from our arborist that would reference this type of document, but also how to get help, you know, for maintaining trees and things like that.
Yeah, and I believe this is sort of the standard tree maintenance manual that we also link on the website. So yeah, it's got sort of instructions on watering, pruning, mulching, fertilizing, even all the way through to removal and disposal for dead and dying trees. But yeah, I think that's...
Well, and I feel like this is a good idea because, not to cast a pall with regard to landscape services, but we've on our property have had some bad experiences where the landscapers came in and put trees that had no business being there. So just, you know, maybe it depends on who you hire, but not every landscaping service has an arborist on staff. And not all of them know what they're talking about. So I think teaching and, you know, pointing people to this information so that they can have an intelligent conversation with the landscape service that they might hire to plant a tree.
Well, in the interest of time, we should probably wrap this up.
Yes. So, do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right, Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon? Commissioner Veazey?
Yes.
Commissioner Haley?
Yes.
Commissioner Mazzatesta?
Yes.
Commissioner Cadlick?
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos?
Yes.
It is 8:39. We are adjourned.